Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your host, Angela Pugh. Thank you for hanging out with me today and listening to the pod. Always happy to spend some time with you during your day. I was out walking this morning with Henry, and we walk pretty early, but I was realizing, like, it's mid-September and it's still pretty hot. Like, I was really hoping it would start to cool off by now, but here in Kansas City, it's still literally been like in the 90s every day. I'm super burnt out on it. Summer is my least favorite time of year, and I'm crazy excited to get to fall and the holidays and winter. I just love that super magical time of year. So I'm really excited for these upcoming few months, and we're going to do some really fun stuff with Addiction Unlimited too. So this week, I wanted to start the episode off with a shout out and a thank you to someone who sent me a DM on Instagram. And by the way, if you don't follow me on Instagram, please go find me there at Addiction Unlimited. And please, please, please follow me. I'm in the final stretch of like making it to true Instagram influencer status. And I need about 1,300 more followers. So please, 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 if you have a few minutes, jump on Insta at Addiction Unlimited and follow me. I'm so excited. I've been working so hard on my Instagram this whole year, like killing myself trying to get it together. And I'm so close to reaching my goal. So at Addiction Unlimited, follow me, follow me, follow me, please. And thank you. So somebody DM'd me on Insta, and I'm not going to say their name, right? Because I don't want to call anybody out when they private message me, because maybe they're not so public about their struggles. So I will not say her Instagram name or anything like that. Hi, Angela. I just wanted to reach out and say thank you. And she put that in all caps, by the way. Thank you for opening up my eyes to what was really happening to me. I've been listening to your podcast, and now I'm finding myself listening to one or two a day as a part of my normal routine. I've been a heavy drinker for a very long time, and your words have been inspirational and educational. I'm working my way through the recovery starter kit, and this has been a big help thus far in my beginning stages. Thank you so much for all that you do. I appreciate all the tools that you've put together at my recovery toolbox, and they have been super helpful for me. Okay, that was kind of awesome. And especially to get a great review on Recovery Starter Kit, because you guys know, like, that's a brand new product. Like, that's only been out available for, I think, a few weeks now when I launched the new website, myrecoverytoolbox.com. So how cool is that to already get a great review on a brand new product? So I'm super excited about that. A little later in the show, I'm going to have a special offer for you, and it's a really good one. So we'll get to that in a bit about the Recovery Starter Kit, but I just wanted to share that and say thank you, not only for utilizing the products, but for loving them and really using them the way they're supposed to be used, right? Like, I've done online courses and stuff before where, well, sometimes I've had to like stop and go back to them later, because like I bought one earlier this year, and it ended up being just a little, it was a little more advanced than I was in the moment about, and I was learning, it was about Pinterest and how to create a Pinterest strategy and all that stuff. And it was just a little over my head. So I had to kind of stop in the middle of that course and do my own research and get my stuff together and get more comfortable with the basics of Pinterest. And now I'm actually going back to that course and going through it. And it's just, one of the things that you fear when you start creating online courses is that people won't start them and finish them. And that's why I try to make myself so available. If you're struggling, if you hit a point that is a stopping point, I want you to reach out and go, okay, I'm struggling with this thing. How do I get through it? And because I want you to finish, I want you to have the help. I want you to feel better. So I love that. It was just really, really cool for me. That was my first review or thank you or message, whatever you want to call it, for the Recovery Starter Kit because it's a brand new product. So super, super stoked. Now, what we're going to actually talk about today is quitting drinking and strategies to be successful. And I also want to get into pause. And some of you might be familiar with pause. Many of you probably are not. That's P-A-W-S, like dog pause. And that stands for post-acute withdrawal syndrome. This is something that I think when I see a lot of comments in the Facebook group and a lot of people that work out, a lot of people that reach out to work with me individually, are typically in some pretty early stages of sobriety, like even first week, first month type of stuff. And I think a lot of the struggles they're going through really have to do with this post-acute withdrawal syndrome. So pause is all the things, kind of how it makes sense to me is I think, like you guys hear me say all the time, like your body and your brain have to fully detox from alcohol and drugs. And this is not a slow process, right? It's going to take time. And I think some of those systems take longer to clear out than others. And there is a whole lot of science happening that make it even more uncomfortable and hard to understand. And also kind of makes it harder to fix, right? There's a whole biological piece that's happening inside of you and in your brain where your body, it's just, you're trying to recalibrate and figure out what the new normal is, right? Because we've been feeding our body and our brain poison for so long, it doesn't know what the heck is going on. So I feel like this post-acute withdrawal is, it's all of that stuff happening. It's your brain trying to detox itself, trying to figure out what it needs to do next. How does it need to behave? What things, because your brain stops making certain things because we're flooding it with alcohol and drugs. Like it kind of goes on autopilot and lets you supply alcohol and drugs. So when you take drugs and alcohol away, your brain is sitting there going, huh, what do I do now? Am I supposed to start making this stuff again? Or are they going to start feeding me again? And okay, I'll start making it again, but how much do I need to make? And how much is too much? And what's not enough? So there's all this stuff going on that for us comes out as like making us feel a little bit crazy, right? I remember when I was brand new sober, I felt like I was in a fog. Honestly, like that was my feeling. I constantly felt fuzzy and it was pretty uncomfortable. My short-term memory was a disaster. I couldn't remember anything. I remember sitting in AA meetings and people would introduce themselves. And by the time they were done sharing, I couldn't even remember their name to say, thank you, whoever, you know. Sleep is a part of this as well, and sleep issues. I think for me, as an alcoholic, I've never slept well, so I can't say that I noticed sleep being more difficult when I got sober because it has just always been a struggle for me. I will say that I used to always say in my drinking, one of the reasons I drank so much was to quiet the noise in my head so I could go to sleep, right? The committee. And so I know it's always been a struggle, but I didn't sleep even long before I ever took a drink of alcohol. Like I remember being a teenager and struggling with sleep issues and vivid dreams that were sometimes really unfriendly. So, but sleep is pretty common. You know, that is a common struggle for addicted people. Being overly sensitive to stress is a part of this post-acute withdrawal too. We're pretty sensitive in general, especially in that brand new sober place. Like I was so uncomfortable just being, you know, like I was so relieved to not be drinking anymore. But I'm so grateful that I went to meetings every day because to be honest with you, I had no idea what to do or how to be or how to piece my life back together. Like I literally had no idea what to do. So I went to AA every day at noon And that got me through the first part of the afternoon. And then I had to be at work at 5 p.m. because I was still bartending. And like, those were the only things I could do. And I had to have just those two clear-cut things that I did every day, because I promise you, I could not have put a day together outside of those things. If I didn't just know this is what I'm doing, where I could just be on autopilot, I don't know that I would have survived it, because I was just kind of a mess, you know? One of the things I really want to talk about too is something called anhedonia. And this goes hand in hand with what I was talking about a few minutes ago in your brain, you know, detoxing and recalibrating and trying to figure out what its new normal is. And anhedonia is, it's a little bit tricky. And let me spell it for you. It's A-N-H-E-D-O-N-I-A. And anhedonia is the inability to feel pleasure. It's common in depression, of course, and it's pretty common in post-acute withdrawal. Like, for me personally, I believe this is a lot for me in my situation, because I've never had really hardcore depression. I definitely have some sadness, and I actually would say my depression stuff is probably even getting a little bit heavier as I get older. I don't know if it's just because I'm busier, I have more pressure, more stress, that kind of thing. But my depression stuff has always been fairly manageable. You guys know where I struggle is with my anxiety. That's the thing that will like push me over the edge. So, but my depression stuff has been pretty manageable. But anhedonia is an inability to feel pleasure. So what happens is your brain stops making your natural feel-good things, right? Dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, all those things that are what your brain fires to make you feel happy, safe, content, comfortable. Our brains kind of stop making that stuff when we're doing drugs and alcohol all the time. So when you take away the drugs and alcohol, right, because now we're dependent on the drugs and alcohol to give us happiness and euphoria. So when we get sober, you take away the drugs and alcohol, and our brains aren't producing those feel-good things anymore, so we don't have any. So it's going to be a little challenging to feel happy, because now I don't have anything helping me to feel happy or content or comfortable. And this is why I talk about, too, exercise being such an important part, certainly of early sobriety, because exercise gets your brain firing those natural feel-good things again. So any kind of physical movement you can be doing. And when I say exercise, I'm not saying go to the gym and do an hour of CrossFit, okay? Don't blow it out of proportion. I mean, get up off your butt and do something. Get moving. Walk around your neighborhood for 30 minutes. I don't care what you do. Go hiking. Walk your dog. Go to the park. I don't know. Whatever you can do. Go play with your kids. Any kind of physical movement, it doesn't have to be a hardcore, crazy workout, high intensity. It's just moving. Just move. Get your body moving. That's what it was made to do. And that's what your brain is made to respond to. So again, any kind of movement you can do is super important, and it will help your brain heal a little bit faster and improve your mood so you don't get too caught up in that anhedonia. So feelings of guilt, this is another big piece of post-acute withdrawal, and we talk about guilt quite a bit on this show because it is a primary offender. You know, it is one of our biggest hurdles to overcome. I just talked about this a lot on, was it last week's episode maybe? How I separate those things, right? I didn't carry an enormous amount of guilt for the things that I did, because I knew I only did those things because I was drunk. So in my head, the most important thing I could do was not be drunk, because as long as I'm not drunk, I'm not making those crappy decisions. So I didn't carry the weight of all that guilt and shame for the terrible things I did when I was drinking, because I wouldn't have ever done those things if I wasn't drinking. So the most important piece of my focus for me was to make sure I wasn't drinking and I wasn't going to drink again. And that's why I went to meetings every day. You know, I was willing to do absolutely whatever it took to not drink. I don't care if I liked it or didn't like it, if it made me uncomfortable, it didn't matter to me. I wanted to not drink, so I followed the guidance of the people who were already not drinking. It was just that simple for me. in that brain fog, I think we can struggle to communicate well. And I really think it is because that fog, or like I said, I just felt like everything was fuzzy. You know, obviously words aren't going to come to you as quickly in post-acute withdrawal. You know, you're not going to be as quick-witted maybe as you normally are because your brain is healing. That's all it's doing. It's just healing. It needs a minute. It needs to rest. It needs to purge some negative stuff, and it needs to reboot. That's all. But in this, we can be overreactive, right? Like I started to talk about this a minute ago, just being sensitive. We're pretty sensitive, certainly in early sobriety, partially because we're uncomfortable. Our bodies are really uncomfortable. We're agitated, irritated, sad. We do have a lot of that guilt. We just kind of feel, you can feel kind of bad all the way around, you know, and that's going to make you more sensitive because you're just irritable. I mean, it's no different than when I'm super stressed out in business and things aren't going well, or, you know, money is really tight. I get super stressed about that stuff and I don't feel good. It affects my mood. It affects my energy. And then I'm irritable and then I'm going to be super sensitive. And that's the time when somebody could say the smallest thing to me and maybe I snap at them, you know, because I'm just irritable. So it's same thing in this situation. Your body and your brain are just under some stress and pressure, and they're trying to figure things out, and they're trying to heal, and they're just trying to get better. So it's okay to be a little bit sensitive. It's okay to be a little bit irritable. One of the things I really love is the HALT checklist. HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Like, you guys, I go through this literally 1,000 times a day. Like, I will catch myself. Like, those are my four go-to things: hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I'm usually at least two of them. But when I catch myself just not being well, that's what I do. I go through that little checklist and then I fix the things that I can fix. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Oftentimes it's hungry, you know, because I'll get caught up working, doing appointments, having clients, and I won't eat for hours at a time. I'm trying really hard to be better about that because I'm just trying to be healthier in general, but it's still a struggle, right? I'm practicing. So hungry almost always, so I can get a protein shake or Kind bar, something to take the edge off that hunger. Angry, I don't struggle with angry too much anymore. In my early sobriety, I did. I used to have a really bad temper, really bad. I could be an incredibly unkind person. And I'm not saying that's 100% gone, because if you strike the right chord in me, I can absolutely be that person again in a split second. But it's usually if somebody is being condescending or dismissive, something like that, that's probably my hot button thing that will really make me be unkind. But when I was newly sober, I was used to being angry and I had a terrible temper and I loved to kind of shred people with my words. And so angry was very common for me in the beginning. And then lonely and tired. Lonely, I think, is really common for addicted people in general. I think we always crave connection, and it's something we don't necessarily do well, or I guess we don't seek it out well. We connect with one another in a way that literally is magical. Like one alcoholic, one addict to another, we connect in this really amazing way that I think is so important to my life all the way around. I have to have addicted people to be connected to. It's just such a great feeling, and we understand each other unlike anybody else will ever understand us. So that connection is so important. At the same time, we tend to have a lot of fear and we procrastinate. We tend to be a little lazy. So picking up the phone or going to a meeting to actually connect with people, I think, is one of our greatest challenges. So that lonely piece, I feel like, can become a very big piece of the puzzle a lot, especially for somebody like me, right? I'm an introvert. I'm an isolator by nature. I love to isolate. And that's where, for me, I have to put a special level of energy into making sure I'm connecting with people. You know, I make sure I go through my calendar on a weekly basis and make sure I have things set aside that I'm just doing for fun, meeting girlfriends for dinner or coffee or something like that. Like, I have to build those things into my life because my natural inclination is to isolate and stay away. And loneliness is really dangerous for us too. You know, like I have to be connected. I want to be connected. So I have to put extra energy into making sure I'm connecting. Again, whether I like it or not, this isn't about being comfortable. Everything I do, especially in early sobriety, every single thing you do should be uncomfortable because you're breaking down that comfort zone. The comfort zone is drunk. That's not where you're trying to stay. So you should be uncomfortable, but you have to just take a little extra time and a little extra energy to make this a reality, right? So don't let yourself get lonely because that plays into bored also. Bored will take you down faster than anything. So what was that? Hungry, angry, lonely. And the last one is tired. Now, let me tell you something. There's not a moment of my life I'm not tired. So that's almost always a given. So anyway, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, great little checklist. I'm typically at least two of them. But it's a great spot, like a little checklist that you can do in your car, whatever. If you catch yourself being irritable or just uncomfortable, go through that hungry, angry, lonely, tired and see what of those things you can fix very quickly to get yourself back to a good place. What else with post-acute withdrawal? Oh, I guess I should tell you too, post-acute withdrawal can last like, some people say it's really common, like 3 to 6 months. Some people say it can last up to a year or 2 years. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm an expert on post-acute withdrawal. Like I have a fairly good understanding of it and I see it all the time. And it's good to understand so that you can kind of work through it and not think that something's wrong with you. But it's just going to make your emotions really go up and down and it's just going to be a little bit uncomfortable. Now, enough talking about the sort of negative part. I want to get into strategies to deal with this stuff, right? Like the checklist, the HALT checklist. Like that's a great strategy to kind of deal with some of these things so they don't get too big and put you in a position that leaves you vulnerable, right? Because if you let any of these things really get the best of you, you're vulnerable to drinking. And I want to be really clear about that. So you have to make a decision how committed you are to not drinking, and you have to make a decision to do whatever you have to do to make sure you don't drink. And like I said, for me, it's making sure each week I go through my schedule and I make sure I have two or three things that are just personal connection that are nourishing my little sober soul, you know? I have to make sure I'm doing things for my recovery. Like I have to put energy into that. Otherwise, it'll fall by the wayside. It's too easy for it to fall by the wayside. It's too easy to get busy with life and busy with kids and busy with jobs. I have to make sure that my level of commitment is in the right place to achieve what I want to achieve. And that's what I want you to do with your sobriety. It has to be a priority, right? You can't let too many things get in front of it, or don't set goals for yourself that are unrealistic, right? Like I don't want you, if you're early morning is really crazy, like you're waking up at 7 and getting the kids up at 7:10 and getting them together and lunches and homework and rides and carpool and whatever. If that morning time is super busy for you, then don't set a goal in that morning time. That doesn't make sense. Unless you want to say, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier and I'm absolutely committed to that 15 minutes early and I'm going to do XYZ in that 15 minutes, whatever your thing is to feed your sobriety or feed your soul or whatever you want to feed in that time. So make it a priority though and do some different things. It doesn't have to be the same thing all the time. Remember that you're a whole human being. And this is what I told you I'd have a special offer for you with the Recovery Starter Kit. This is where the Recovery Starter Kit is really good. You're a whole human being, right? We wear a lot of different hats. We have a lot of different life areas, or in coaching, we say life domains. So you have professional, you have spiritual, you have fun, you have all these different areas of your life, right? It's really important that you feed all of those areas. And that's exactly what the Recovery Starter Kit is. It's literally a guide that walks you through how to feed those different areas of your life and your person, and how to do it on a daily basis and keep it super simple and not time consuming, right? Because none of us have a ton of time usually. We're pretty busy people, especially if you've got spouses and kids. So it just keeps it simple and it breaks it down for you and it gives you a ton of resources. Because I think too, we know the things that we want to do sometimes and we really want to do them, but we don't know how to do it. Like, okay, even quitting drinking, like you guys have heard me say 1,000 times, I knew I wanted to quit drinking, but it's like I couldn't even figure out how to start stopping, you know? And that's really what I wanted to do this episode for, because like we all understand quit drinking, like don't take the next drink. I get that part. But what I couldn't get was, what do I do after that? Like I'm spending my whole day not drinking, but what the hell do I do with my whole day? You know? And that's where so many of these tools are really helpful at myrecoverytoolbox.com, because it gives you things to do. It gives you a blueprint. And that's what the Recovery Starter Kit is really all about, giving you a blueprint of things you can do to fill in that time, to feel better, to get your anxiety down, to not be obsessing about, oh my gosh, I'm not drinking. I can't take a drink. I can't take a drink. I'm not going to drink today. What am I going to do? And getting like the committee will just go crazy with that. You have to have some simple step-by-step things that you can just start to plug into your day on the go, in your underwear. It doesn't matter. And that's what the Recovery Starter Kit does. It just gives you all of it. Here's what you do. Here are the resources. Go here. Do this. Feel this. Whatever. And I don't know about you, but when I was brand new sober, that's exactly what I needed. Like I said, I don't think I could have put anything together outside of going to AA at noon and work at 5. That's all I could handle. And that's all I needed to handle, right? Because I was making this huge change in my life and I had to get used to it and I had to understand it and I had to just give my body and my brain a little time out without a lot of extra stress and energy. I had to let my body and my brain just recalibrate and get to where it could just feel better, period. So here's what I'm going to do for you guys. You know, the Recovery Starter Kit is a brand new product, okay? And what I'm going to do is from today through Sunday the 22nd, I am going to offer a huge, huge discount for the Recovery Starter Kit. Now, I priced this thing to be super affordable anyway. It literally is less than an individual coaching session with me at regular price. So it's not like this thing is hugely expensive, but I want you to use it. I want you to have access to it. I want it to help you. So I'm going to give you $50 off. You guys, that's a huge discount. $50 off to get the Recovery Starter Kit, and that's going to be good through September 22nd. $50 off. And the code you're going to use, just go to myrecoverytoolbox.com, go through the steps like you're going to purchase the product, click on Recovery Starter Kit and purchase. And when you get to the checkout page, it will give you the option to put in a coupon code. And here's your coupon code. Are you ready for this? Off 50, OFF 50. That's your code. Good through Sunday, September 22nd, $50 off Recovery Starter Kit. I can't wait for you guys to get this thing. You're going to love it. It's going to bring you so much relief. And really, especially in that first few months of sobriety, it's going to really give you some great tools and things to focus on to help this stuff make sense, to help fill your time so you're not sitting around stressing out about what the heck to do and how to do the sobriety thing, especially if you're not going to meetings, right? If meetings aren't your thing, or if you live in a rural area and you don't have a lot of meetings, or you just don't want to go to damn meetings, this is the perfect thing to help you, give you the extra support and that little boost that you need to get through that time. So I want you to think about all of this stuff, post-acute withdrawal. I want you to think about that checklist, halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. These are great tools to get you through this time that is challenging. Also, if you need support, if you're struggling kind of on your own, join us on the Facebook group. This is a fantastic spot. Everybody is so open and sharing their experiences and when they slip and what they do to help their own sobriety, and they offer each other guidance and support. It's amazing in there. And that's facebook.com/groups/addictionunlimited. And of course, I will put all of these links in the show notes. I'll put the link to myrecoverytoolbox.com, which is chock full of a million free resources and online courses and all that kind of stuff just to help you stay sober. I will link to the Facebook group. I will link to Instagram. Please, please, please follow me on Instagram. I'm so close to my goal at Addiction Unlimited. Please follow me. I'm so close. I'm so stoked. And I really want to get there before the holidays, because when you hit that goal on Instagram, you get a whole bunch of new options and things you can do on your Instagram. And I can't wait to get there. So I will link to all of that stuff. I hope you guys have a fantastic day. You know how to find me if you need anything. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, I will also link to the application process about being a guest on the show. All of that stuff will be in the show notes, okay? You guys have a fantastic day, and I will see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.